Let's all say amen. I want to thank everybody for coming back to worship on this afternoon. It could have been a challenge coming back on this afternoon. Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday. But I think it shows us sometimes we can also see our own growth. Well, there was a time when I may have stayed home. Amen? And I enjoyed the game and not put the Lord first. Paul, Jesus talked about that. Seek you first the kingdom of God. So as we grow in the Lord, we learn that we prioritize things that we put the Lord first in our life. And so we understand from Acts 2:42 and verse number 47, the fact that we have five acts of worship that we are to participate in when we come to worship God. And so we want to make sure that we give all God our best. We talked about that this morning from the fact Paul, in talking about let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. So that's talking about my manner of life, and I live where I'm starting to put Christ first. And we'll look at that briefly on to this afternoon, what the Lord says, what Peter said about that same thing about one's conversation. And so we in 1 Peter thank all the brothers that have participated thus far in worship. And we're speaking from verse number 15, where Peter said, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's the subject this afternoon. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We'll see from the text that God will not ask us to be something that we could not be. That was an impossibility. So we can be that which God has said, and we'll show from what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount what the Lord meant when he talks about us being holy from the Word of God. And so we'll pick up again at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13 from the subject, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. But Peter in his letter in verse 13, he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Peter, in his letter to those that were scattered abroad, that's verse number one, he said, Peter said they were strangers scattered abroad in the various areas. But Peter wanted them to understand that the word gird up means to tighten up all improper behaviors, improper thoughts, improper activity. What Peter was saying to him, you got to gird up those things. He said, in your mind, those thoughts that I have that's not consistent with the will of God, those actions that I have that's not consistent with the word of God, those things that I'm doing, activities that's not consistent with the word of God, Peter said, you got to tighten up. In order for me to go to heaven, I have to tighten up those things. Then he said, along with that, you got to be sober. Yeah. So not only is my responsibility that I try to gird up those things, but in tightening up those things, being sober means I got to learn to control myself. Sober means self-control. As I said last week, I think it was, the fact that those aspects, part of soberness, mean a calmness of mind that influences my emotions. So I got to allow myself, as Peter said in 1 Peter, in the same letter, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, when it comes to dealing with the devil, 1 Peter 5:8, Peter said, and be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may destroy. And so one of the things, I think when I was watching Animal Kingdom, they talked about how a lion, one of the things a lion does, he roars. And the roar is to bring about fear in that animal that he's trying to catch. So we'll find that sometimes the devil may roar in our life. He is the ultimate adversary. Peter said that, and he's seeking whom he may devour. So in dealing with the devil, the Lord says that same sober that Peter uses in verse number 13, where he says, I have to be a calmness of mind, which I'm not influenced by my emotions. And so tonight we want to talk about that when it comes to behavior, we want to understand from the Word of God, and we'll get to that when he talks about obedient children. I'll look at that verse 14. But he says, now, not only am I controlling my mind, but also Peter said, I have the hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. So grace, we know, is unmerited favor. So Peter said, when we tighten up our loins, when we are self-controlled, then we hope for the grace of God that will come to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And so Peter identified, he was talking to them and letting them know that we have to grow to a point that we're not allowing ourselves, allowing those old behaviors to be there. He said those things that we did in our ignorance. He said that before we became Christians, we lived a lifestyle that was ignorant of God's word. But he said, notice now, you are obedient children. Why? Because you first obeyed the gospel. So that lets us know the capability of being obedient is there. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning or conforming yourselves unto your lust that you had in your ignorance. And so what we find that God wants us to be obedient. As a child is obedient to their parent, we ought to be obedient to God as our Heavenly Father. We ought to do those things. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible talks about how we ought to be, what type of children we ought to be. And in Ephesians 5 and 8, Paul let the Ephesians know about the transition. He said in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's when we was in the world. He said, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. So we ought to be those individuals that we walk according to the light of God's word. We are the children of light. And then when we talk about that walk that we have in Romans 12, that same word where we find fastening, the word in the, when Paul wrote in Romans 12, the word was conformed. He said, know what he says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't fashion yourself after the world, but be ye transformed. How, Paul? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I was about to say that oftentimes with us, I said a little bit on it this morning, we are driven by two factors. We're going to be driven either by how we feel, or we're going to be driven by how we think. And so what the Lord wants us to do, God wants us to grow to the point that we renew our minds with the Word of God. So now I am driven, not that I'm not supposed to have emotion, because when Jesus gave the example of the Good Samaritan, the Bible says he had compassion on the person. So God wants us to be emotional. However, I don't want to allow that emotion that I have to drive me to do something that's not consistent with God. And that's where Peter talked about girding up your loins. Yeah, I got to allow the Word of God to transform me. That, notice what Paul said. Again, I try to emphasize that word, that always tells us instruction. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect or complete will of God. When my mind is transformed, does not mean I'm not going to sin. We're all going to sin. But again, I want to show that there ought to be some consistency in the life of a Christian. Why? That I may, the word prove mean to test or to show what is good, what is pleasing, and what is the complete will of God. That to be seen in the Christian lifestyle. And that's what Peter was saying as we get to verse number 15. He said, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So that's my title. What Peter said to them, he says, now, but as God and Christ is holy, he says to us, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And manner of conversation has to do with our manner of living. What Paul was telling them, that Christ is the perfect pattern of holiness. And the word be in that text means to become. So become ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is a transition that we have to make. Look in 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll see that in the text. 1 Thessalonians 4. And Paul, in his writing to the Thessalonians, shared that, shows that transition, how we're supposed to go from being unclean to being holy. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7, he says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness. That lifestyle I was living before I became a Christian, but God, when we answer the invitation, God has called us unto holiness. And so that's what we're supposed to be. We are to be holy. And in being holy, Jesus said it, Jesus would not give us a command if we were not able to do it. In Matthew chapter 5, note what Jesus says in the last verse of Matthew 5, and the verse is number 48. Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. But now, that perfect does not mean that I'm going to be sinless. What that means is that in my relationship with the Lord, I'm trying to grow to completeness. I'm trying to grow to become finished. I'm trying to grow to where the Lord is and how the Lord is. So he said, now, so the Lord, Jesus, would not ask them to do something if it was not possible to do. He said, therefore, be ye perfect. The word perfect also means to be mature. Grow in the Lord. Be mature in the Lord, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And then my final verse, come to a halt on this afternoon, he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Yeah. God would not ask us to do something if it was not possible.
Right.
Yeah. Holy does not mean perfection. Holy means as a type of walk where all manner of my walk with the Lord is that which is clean. So for my final scripture, go back to Leviticus, where Peter found this scripture from. Leviticus chapter 11 is where Peter got this verse of text from. And so we're talking about the fact that our conversation, our manner of life, we said earlier this morning, God wants that manner of life to be one that is worthily. And worthily has to do with how we act and how we think. My thinking comes from the Word of God. I allow the Word of God to shape my thought, to shape my mind. In Leviticus 11 and verse number 44, where Peter pulled this from, he said, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself. So we got to separate ourselves. And you shall, notice, and if you separate yourself, then he said, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore, notice now, be holy, for I am holy. And so when we look at this, what we look at, the land of Egypt for us will be when we were out there in the world and we were doing those things in the world. But it was the Lord, Peter, we said this morning, how he said that Jesus died for us, 1 Peter 3:18, to bring us to God. So God did allow things to be done in our life to allow us to come to God. We left out of the land of Egypt. We left out of the world, and now we're in the church, and God commands us to grow to the point that we can be holy in the Lord. And so if you're here tonight, Again, that's my lesson on tonight, that we be holy, work on ourselves, gird up your loin, get a sober mind that I can allow my walk to be one. When people see my walk, those people, remember we said 2 Corinthians 3:2, the Bible says known and read of all men. People are watching our lives. You're a Christian, you say you're a member of the Church of Christ, people are watching you. People are watching you, and you want them to watch you. But notice what the Lord said in that Sermon on the Mount. He said, let your light shine. You don't make it shine. Yeah, people just see your light, and they'll see how you're living. You don't put your light in front of them to try to make it shine. We let it shine by the way we carry ourselves. And so if you're here this evening, and you're not a Christian, I think we may be all homegrown this evening, but I don't want to take that chance and not miss me. Somebody may be here, may come in here, may not have obeyed the Lord. One, obey the Lord by hearing the gospel, the three facts that Jesus Christ died for your sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. You have to believe that message of the gospel. You repent of your sin. One, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and then one may be water baptized. Maybe someone listening on the line tonight and need to know how to become a Christian. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sin, you confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, then you have to culminate that obedience in water baptism. That's how you become an obedient child of God, by obeying God. If there's someone today that is subject to the invitation, we want to bid you to come, and together, my brother, come and lead us in a verse of a song.